It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, welcome into the barn. A Thursday edition of the Bet America Radio Network. Hope everybody out there in podcast land doing well. Got a busy show for you. We're going to be joined by Scott Calder a little bit later from Coolmore America at Ashford Stud. I never knew that Coolmore and Ashford Stud were the same thing. I thought they were, two different farms. But I am not one who is the most educated on the breeding aspect of horse racing. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to talk to somebody who works for one of the best breeding operations, who's where American Pharoah is housed, and asked Scott numerous questions about, running a world-class breeding operation. He's their one of their sales and marketing guys, and talk to him and catch up about what American Pharoah's career is like now that he's off the track. I mean, he's the most popular horse we've seen, since Zenyatta at least, or maybe Cal Chrome. California Chrome is really popular. He obviously didn't achieve everything that American Pharoah did, but California Chrome is really popular. But anyways, total digression. But real excited to talk to Scott Calder about life at Coolmore for American Pharoah and how his career's changed and things that go on in a breeding operation. I mean, as you know from listening to the show previously, if you have our interviews, I try to ask questions that you don't hear on normal racing radio shows and try to ask a little more behind the scenes stuff or a little more personal kind of stuff. And I'm real excited to talk to Scott a little bit later and address that. But first, I wanted to play some audio for you. So on Fridays, we usually have the barn jury, the Bet America Radio Network jury. Five racing fans from across the country, five of our peers, and we vote on a topic that is of interest to me. And we'll, of course, have an edition of the barn tomorrow, or Friday, rather. Yeah, tomorrow. That's right. It's Thursday already. Man, this week's flying by. And anyways, we'll have an edition of the barn tomorrow. So a few weeks back when we did the barn, our question was, will Dortmund win another grade one? At the time, Dortmund had, he'd had a couple workouts and passed on a couple races he was pointing towards. And, we had the votes and it was a 3-2 vote that Dortmund would win another grade one. Well, one of the people who voted no was our friend the Equibay, the famed Equibay's chart caller from the Midwest. And I wanted to play her comment. So here's her comment from the barn jury a couple weeks ago.
Dortmund can win another grade one race. Thing is, he's never going to run in another grade one race.
So you're voting no?
I am voting no.
So that is going to lock up our jury right now at 2 apiece. And so we will go to our final juror who is coming up next. So Equibay, you don't think he's retired?
No, I think he'll say he'll run in the grade ones, but he won't. He'll run in, like, listed stakes and grade twos and stuff.
Like the Big Bear stakes?
Yeah, pretty much. Or I think his ultimate goal is probably just going to be the Long Acres Mile.
So there's the Equibay, and now mind you, everybody's goal should be the Long Acres Mile because it's, one of my favorite races in the world. But but her comment was that he won't run another grader. So today we get news that Dortmund is going to have a month break. He's continually being plagued by foot problems, and he's going to get now 4 weeks off. And it's just starting to smell like, it's just going to keep getting pushed back. And I'm starting to think that, because I voted that, yes, he will win another grade one. And now I'm starting to think that the Equibay might be a little sharper on that topic. The other person I should add that voted no was Sam the Syrup Man, our friend up in Canada. So we'll see how this plays out. The barn jury questions usually aren't something that can be answered in a short period of time. But I thought Equibay's comments were particularly poignant considering the news coming out today that Dortmund is out for another month. So we will have to wait to see who we thought was going to be one of the top older horses in the country, and he won't be making a start till at least April. It'll be longer than that, because if he's going to take a month off, he's going to have to kind of retrain back up to get his fitness going. So likely wouldn't see him till May or June, and I can't think of what older horse, you know, grade ones there would be until, you know, because he's going to certainly miss the big cap now. And I can't think of, you know, I mean, there's the Hollywood Gold Cup, or now it's the Santa Anita Gold Cup. And then, you know, races at Del Mar and stuff. If he's going to stay on the West Coast, he certainly could go go back east. But weekend coming up, and some great racing around the country. By the time the show comes out on Thursday morning, California Chrome will have already run, so we won't worry about talking about him. And we talked about that race yesterday with Candace Hare. But a big slate of great stakes action at Gulfstream Park coming up this weekend, of course, led by the $400,000 Fountain of Youth, the Ohm Fountain of Youth. I don't know what that means. And then my PP, it says the Ohm Fountain of Youth. But a field of six runners drawn. Mo Heyman drew the outside, the six hole. And when we talked to Kieran McLaughlin on the show, he was worried about getting the outside, but he was worried that was going to be a 9 or 10 horse field. And so with the six hole, I'm sure he's not too terribly upset. And Mo Heyman, of course, figures to be a massive contender in this race. It is kind of coincidental that Awesome Banner, the one of the other undefeated horses, is right to his inside. And Awesome Banner has pretty good speed. So I think the way to look at this race from a handicapping perspective, I mean, Zulu has good early speed. He's stretching out for the first time. So you got to think that Zulu and Awesome Banner are going to kind of be up front with Awesome Speed, another one who has really good early speed. So Mo Heyman might be a little further back than he ever has been before. He's been third at first call in his last three starts, but at least on paper, to me, it's shaping up that he should be sitting about fourth early on, possibly fifth. Golden Ray's another horse that's got early speed. So the only horse that doesn't really have a good early speed is Fellowship, who's drawn down on the inside. He'll probably just take right back from the opening bell. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Mo Heyman, you know, sit back in fourth or fifth and try to save ground into that first turn. It's obviously a pretty quick run to that first turn at Gulfstream. And, you know, it presents some tactical challenges to Junior Alvarado for the horse that should be the sizably large favorite. But it should be a fantastic day of racing. Yeah, I mentioned seven stakes races, I think there are. Sand Springs is going as race number 9. Race number 8, the Canadian Turf, grade 3 for the turf mileage. Divisadero, who was a very, very nice winner of a grade 2 American Turf, and then the Pennine Ridge at Belmont, and then finished up the track in the Belmont Derby as one of the favorites that day. But I think Divisadero, very highly thought of horse for Buff Bradley, and look for him to certainly be making some noise in that race. But some interesting runners in the Canadian Turf. It's actually a pretty fun little race. I love turf stakes races at Gulfstream. It seems like there's 10 horses in every race you can make a case for, and they can all run. But you know, there's a lot of fun. Another turf stakes. Here comes the Bride Stakes, grade 3 on the grass. I'm looking, of course, most forward to, I said yesterday, that I actually said the Forward Gal, which was the last race in the series. It's the Devoted Dale that's coming up for the 3-year-old fillies. And I'm just so excited to see Catherine Sophia again. She's just been so awesome in her 3 wins. I was glad that she had to kind of overcome a little bit of a challenge last time out, but this race is not easy. Our Girl's a Charmer is coming off a very nice stakes win at Tampa Bay Downs. That horse has a lot of speed, so Catherine Sophia is going to have to. Lewis Bay is a horse who's won 2 in a row, including a grade 2, going to be making her first start as a 3-year-old. There's some talented runners in here. Dearest is a horse for Gilberto Zerpa, who I have never heard of, but Edgar Zayas has ridden this horse. They won a nice maiden event at Calder or Gulfstream Park West, whatever you want to call it, and came back and won a really nice allowance and got a 99 Brisnet figure, so certainly no pushover as far as speed and talent. So I'm so pumped for the Devona Dale. XY Jet headlines the Gulfstream Park Sprint. XY Jet has just been something remarkable since coming to Southern Florida. Won a nice little optional claimer at Monmouth back in September, and then the optional claimer at Calder wins by 4, and then all of a sudden comes to Gulfstream, the grade 3 Mr. Prospector, and just airs, opens up 7.5 on the turn, 10.5 in the stretch, wins by 9.25, and last race just goes right to the front, opens up on the turn again, clipping off a 43.4 half mile. And wins in 108 and change. So somebody is going to have to prove that they can go with XY Jet, because he has just been beating the pants off of everybody at Gulfstream Park. But we're going to take a little bit more serious look at those races tomorrow because we're leading up to a couple of great promotions. One is a promotion, one is a tournament. We have one of our, in fact, the biggest tournament we've ever had at Bet America is coming up on Saturday. $15,000 tournament, and it's fee-free. It's a $100 buy-in, and all $100 of the entry fee go into the pool. So up to 150 players, $15,000 in the pot. No entry fees. It's fee-free, which means no takeout. That's the big word everybody talks about, takeout. Well, there's none of it in this tournament. It'll cover races from Gulfstream, Aqueduct, and Santa Anita. Go to betamerica.com and get an account signed up if you don't have one yet. We'll match your first deposit up to $300, and this tournament is a great way to get going on your BetAmerica account. Like I said, fee-free, $15,000 tournament coming up this Saturday. It's going to be a huge deal, and we're going to talk a lot about that tournament in tomorrow's show. Also, because the Fountain of Youth is a Kentucky Derby prep, it's part of our Kentucky Derby prep promotion. Go to betamerica.com/extra, and you can click on the promotions calendar or the Kentucky Derby prep link right on the side there. And if you make a win bet on, let's say, Mo Heyman, Austin Banner, whoever, and they win, you'll get a bet on that horse in the Kentucky Derby if they make it that far. So some really cool promotions to check out, and that tournament on Saturday is just going to be fantastic. The tournament thing is not something I was ever into, and like I said, I went to NHC, and it completely turned me around. And Michael Baychak, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago, made a point. He goes, you know, it's tournament handicapping is really one of the growth industries in our sport right now, and it's just getting bigger and better and more exciting. And I think this $15,000 tournament that's fee-free, no takeout, is going to just be a jumping-off point for some really, really great tournaments at BetAmerica. So be sure to check all that out. We're going to head out to a short break. When we come back, we're going to have a little fun. We're going to play a little bit of You Might Be a Horse Player If. You might remember a couple weeks ago we did this. The old Jeff Foxworthy bit, you know, you might be a redneck if. Well, this is You Might Be a Horse Player If, and it's coming up after this short timeout. Scott Calder from Coolmore joining us after that. It's the BetAmerica Radio Network. You're in the barn.
Hello, this is Kayla Stratt, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
All right, thanks, Kayla, and welcome back to the BetAmerica Radio Network. Again, Scott Calder, the Sales and Marketing Director at Coolmore, going to be joining us in the next segment to talk about the life of American Pharaoh over at the breeding farm. But we're going to have a little fun, play a little bit of You Might Be a Horse Player If, for all you horse players out there. Horse players are some of my favorite people in the world, and I consider myself one, and we are a crazy, crazy bunch. So I thought I'd do this. Of course, you remember the Jeff Foxworthy skit, you know, you might be a redneck if you paint your, you know, wife and your dog the same color, or whatever it was. So it's in that vein, but hopefully everybody has a little fun. We need a little bit of music for it. All right, there we go. All right, so we got the music going. And so we begin. If you've ever postponed lovemaking to catch one more race from Australia B, you might be a horse player. If you refer to your pregnant wife as in foal, you might be a horse player. If you refer to your most talented daughter as the big mare, you might be a horse player. If you've ever been late to a date because you were catching the fourth from Ellis Park on your Horse Races Now app, you might be a horse player. If you refer to taxes being taken out of your paycheck as takeout, you might be a horse player. If your vacation destinations include Cypress, California, or Arlington Heights, Illinois, you might be a horse player. If you willingly pay $10 for a newspaper, you might be a horse player. If you've ever told your wife that you're in the mall while you're really at the OTB, you might be a horse player. If you get pissed off for your child having their wedding on the first Saturday in May, you're definitely a horse player. If you've ever brought schoolwork to the track, you might be a horse player. If you pretend you're a jockey while driving through traffic, you might be a horse player. If you know who Frank Miramati is but don't know your own neighbor, you might be a horse player. If you refer to a virgin as an apprentice, you might be a horse player. If you refer to your hottest sexual conquest as black type, you might be a horse player. If you refer to redheads as chestnuts, you might be a horse player. When instead of a ring, you hang a claiming tag on your spouse at the wedding, you might be a horse player. When you refer to your trainer at the gym as the clerk of scales, you might be a horse player. When you refer to your wife's in-laws as her connections, you might be a horse player. When your spouse puts on earmuffs and you tell her she looks like Gate Dancer, you might be a horse player. When you actually took the time to figure out how many hands tall you were, you might be a horse player. If you've ever called someone to brag about a losing bet, you might be a horse player. When you and your friends rate the attractiveness of other people by using claiming prices, you might be a horse player. When you call a 126-pound man 5 pounds overweight, you might be a horse player. When you flunk junior high math but know exactly how many yards are in 5 furlongs, you might be a horse player. When your ringtone is the call to post, you're definitely a horse player. When you associate the number 9 with turquoise, you might be a horse player. When your friend brags about sleeping with somebody very attractive and you tell him to stop redboarding, you might be a horse player. Finally, when you refer to yourself as an insert the state you're from bread, you might be a horse player. All right, well, a little fun here on a Thursday. Hope everybody enjoys You Might Be a Horse Player, but he seemed to like it last time, so we try it again with some more jokes. We're going to head out to a short timeout. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Scott Calder from Coolmore America. On the other side of this break, you're in the barn.
Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
All right, welcome back to the BetAmerica Radio Network, and we are pleased to go out to the beautiful bluegrass of Lexington, Kentucky, and welcome in a sales and marketing worker with Coolmore America, Scott Calder, joining us on the phone. Scott, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Scott, I imagine it's had to have been an exciting few months at Coolmore with the arrival of American Pharoah, and I'm sure a lot of hoopla that goes with it. How are things going at the farm?
Yeah, it's been very exciting. Obviously, it doesn't get much better than having a Triple Crown winner come to the farm. So, it's a privilege to have him here, and he's brought a lot of fanfare along with him, as you can imagine.
Do you guys get, like, just daily phone calls like, hey, can I come visit American Pharoah?
Yeah, we do. We do. We have, you know, an interest from all kinds of different avenues. You know, everyone wants a piece of American Pharoah, so it's a lot of requests from, you know, the press, people wanting to mm-hmm. photograph, paint pictures, and then obviously fans as well. So we've been very fortunate. There's a new initiative in town here called Horse Country, which has been going on in the background for about 3 years, and is a bit of a joint venture between all the farms. And we designed it to basically facilitate the farm tours that a lot of the farms within Kentucky offer. So they've been a huge asset to us. They facilitate all the tours that we do here, so that people that want to come to American and see American Pharoah can organize through Horse Country and come and see him that way.
Scott, how long have you been involved with Coolmore and been here in Lexington, Kentucky?
I've been here for about 3 years. I've worked for Coolmore for coming up on 5 years now. I started working for them in Ireland and then transferred here to Ashford in Kentucky.
So did you have a horse racing background? Were you involved in the sport in other ways before working in the breeding end?
Yeah, I did. I grew up in New Zealand. My dad works in the horse business there. So like most people that end up with the horse bug, I caught it through a family member, which is, as I said, happens pretty commonly.
Yeah, you know, I always, whenever people start having the conversation, how do we attract new fans? How do we create new fans? I always say, you have children and you take them out to the racetrack.
Yeah, exactly. It's a contagious thing, and I probably didn't realize just how bad I had caught the bug until I got close to graduating university, and I kind of thought it didn't sound that great working, you know, for a bank or sitting in an office somewhere. So I gravitated towards the horses.
And it's worked out perfectly.
Yeah, as you know yourself, I'm sure it's a great business to be around, and it's nice to do something that you enjoy and are passionate about.
Absolutely. Scott Calder from Coolmore America joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. So when American Pharoah, and we're going to talk a lot about him, obviously, because he's certainly in the news still. When he arrives at the farm, is there a process to kind of help transform him from an active racehorse to stud duty?
Yeah, there is. They go from being a highly fit, athletic animal, and they need to make that transition into a more, I guess, leisurely pace of life at the farm. So when he got here, it was just a slow transition. You know, we gave him a little bit of exercise. We have some round pens so we can, do that on a lunge line and let him burn off that excess energy. And then transitioned him more towards having time turned out in the paddock. One of the things people find quite interesting is we have Thunder Gulch here, who's one of our retired stallions, and we kind of use him as a babysitter, so to speak, and he goes out in the paddock next to the young stallions and kind of provides a good example so they don't run around and, get too out of control down there. So it's just basically the whole process tries to allow them to let down and relax and, settle into their new surroundings. And thankfully, both American Pharoah and Competitive Edge, our other new stallion this year, have got very good temperaments, and it was a very straightforward process.
Have their personalities changed a little bit since they've arrived at the farm? I mean, you mentioned they're both pretty laid back.
Not really. Like, this is our stallion manager kind of gets that asked a lot about American Pharoah.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't really changed. He's a very, very laid-back horse, as everyone saw and all the press, through the Triple Crown and through his racing career. He is a pretty spectacular animal when it comes to his temperament. So, while our manager thinks we might see some little differences, I don't think he's going to change too much. He's just a very kind of cool dude.
Scott Calder from Coolmore America joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. Now, this is just a random curious question I have. When a stud's getting ready for the breeding season, he's new to stud, do you guys have to somehow train him for his new job of breeding, or is it just a situation where nature takes over and he knows what? Because, humans, we get the birds and the bees conversation, but with horses, is there a training for the actual breeding?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. Like, obviously, it's a colt or a stallion's instinct is, when they sense that a mare is in season, I don't know how much it registers, but they know what they want to do.
Yeah.
So it's a very natural thing, but at the same time, we when it comes to a young stallion, they get a bit of practice before the breeding season starts. They know what they want to do, but sometimes they can be over enthusiastic, and it takes a while to get control of their body. The same as
sure.
When a horse does a breeze for the first time, mm-hmm. they might not keep a straight line and be a bit green. It's the same principles for the breeding side. So they get an introduction, and we kind of ease them into that. But once breeding season rolls around, they get the hang of it, pretty quickly.
There's a famous story about how War Emblem didn't work out as a stallion and wasn't kind of interested in it. Does stuff like that happen for you guys sometimes? Do you get worried if a horse isn't, showing breeding interest or ability? Or what do you do in situations like that?
I think War Emblem is a pretty unique case in the fact that, he was basically not interested at all.
Mm-hmm.
All the stallions probably show a different libido, but thankfully we haven't got any horses here that have been a War Emblem case. So
yeah
so far everything seems great. The young horses seem interested, and I think often as horses get older, we might cut back their breeding and they might breed less mares and maybe mm-hmm. only breed a couple of times a day. But usually, young horses, they're young, they're fit, they they like their jobs and they can handle the workload really well.
So, you know, you mentioned the younger horses, you know, doing more active breeding. American Pharoah, like, what's a day in the life of an active stallion like him, kind of from dawn to dusk?
At the moment, so we're into breeding season now. So our first breeding season is at 7:30 in the morning. After that time, all the stallions get turned out. They have time outside. They can stretch their legs, and it's kind of a nice time for them to blow off some steam and have some time to themselves. Mm-hmm. They'll come back in later in the morning. They get groomed every day. They breed again in the afternoon, and then we, you know, they'll have breeders come to see them. We offer the tours each afternoon at 3 o'clock. So that's something American Pharoah is involved with. And then they get done up for the evening. If they're busy, they may breed a third time that evening, and then they spend the night inside, and then they repeat the morning after. It's very, you know, very much a horses are creatures of habit, and the routine stays pretty constant for them.
Is it a 7 day a week job this time of year for them?
It is, yeah. Depending, you know, on the horses, how many horses they have on their book, but yeah, most our stallions are very popular, so it's for the most part, you know, they'll have a breeding pretty much every day.
Scott Calder joining us from Coolmore America. And, you know, Scott, you work in the marketing ends of things. For a horse like American Pharoah with his name appeal, do you have to do a lot of marketing, or is it, right now at least, a lot of people coming to you guys?
Yeah, I guess American Pharoah makes a marketing person's job pretty easy, yeah. To be honest. It's you know, a very unique situation. You don't need to convince anybody how good he is, and obviously, being such a successful horse, there's only a very small percentage of the broodmare band that kind of that quality, and, you know, people who are willing to spend the money to breed to a horse like him. So it's for him, it's been a very different proposition to pretty much any other stallion that I've been involved with anyway.
So if you get a horse that comes to the farm who's, you know, maybe a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old who got injured on the Derby trail but was, you know, well-bred and highly touted, but you have to do, you know, marketing and stuff, you know, not as much on their race record, is that more of a challenge for somebody in your position than just being able to say, hey, this guy won the Triple Crown, come back, you know, here's $200,000, come over?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every horse has their positive factors, and certainly we're lucky at Ashford. If a horse ends up in our stallion roster, you know, they have more often than not performed to a very high level. But, you know, on saying that, you like to maybe open their eyes to things that, you know, may be a bit beyond the obvious. And, you know, like a horse like Competitive Edge, you know, it's the obvious thing. He won the Hopeful. He was a very good 2-year-old and was precocious. But then, you know, you go on to his 3-year-old year, and the fact that he broke the stakes record at Churchill Downs on Derby Day and the Pat Day Mile, that kind of stuff. You're just pushing that across. But what's a really important factor too is people will come to the farms and see the horses physically, and that's a really big selling point. So that's an important part of it as well.
So is the process generally initiated by you guys, or by maybe somebody who, like, if somebody owns, you know, a Zenyatta, I'm sure, obviously, you know, a filly's like her, you know, they can kind of pick and choose maybe a little bit more. Does it usually, is the process initiated by the people that own the filly? Is it initiated by you guys? How does the matching kind of process work?
It's a bit of both. You know, some people will look through them. You know, most breeders know their mares very well. They know what they're trying to achieve, and they'll kind of go through all the different stallions and make their selections and come to us. And same way it goes back the other way. We may see particular mares like in a sale, or we may know a breeder and know a certain mare that they have coming off the track, and we might say, hey, you know, we think this would really work well, whether the bloodlines cross or those kind of things. So it goes both ways. We're very fortunate that we've been doing business for a long time. We have really good relationships with, you know, most of the major breeders around the place. So we have open lines of communication, and, you know, sometimes we might go to them, and other times they come to us, and, you know, we try and figure it out that way.
Scott Calder joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. Now, this past winter, you know, with all the hubbub of American Pharoah, you guys also had a big loss at the farm. A very nice stallion named Scat Daddy passed away. I imagine when one of the horses dies, it's got to just kind of be a whole shock and sadness for the entire staff.
Yeah, it's a really tough one to stomach. particularly a horse like Scat Daddy that was kind of only just getting into his prime. But yeah, it's the guy we're here every day. You know, the guys that look after him are in there grooming him every day, cleaning out the stalls. You know, you spend an awful lot of time with those horses, as all of your listeners who have their own horses or people mm-hmm. that work in racing stables. You know, you dedicate an awful amount of your life to caring for that horse. So for one of them to die like that, it's, you know, the same with anyone that owns any of their pets. You know, it's a really tough one to stomach. And I think over and above that, even for Scat Daddy, it was a big loss in a broader sense, because he was a really great up-and-coming stallion. Mm-hmm. He was going to be, I think, a really important stallion for U.S. breeding in general going forwards. He'd shown that he could do it in Europe as well as here, and he was only just really getting to the point where he was getting the creme de la creme of the mare population. So, yeah, and in broader terms, it's a big loss, and very much so for the guys here that, you know, work with him every day.
And it was kind of just a random thing, right? He wasn't sick or really injured or anything.
No,
right?
And that was probably another part that was tough. You know, sometimes you have an older horse and they've had certain health issues, but mm-hmm. This was very much unexpected. He'd shown no signs of ill health, so again, that made it extra hard to stomach.
Scott Calder joining us from Coolmore and Ashford Stud here on the Bet America Radio Network. Another stud you guys have that's just been fantastic is Uncle Mo. How exciting is it for everyone when the stallions end up having horses like Nyquist, you know, that are on the Derby trail? Are you guys, you know, on Saturdays between breedings, are you guys sneaking in to watch races on the computer and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we live and breathe it very much. So, you know, every weekend there's racing going on around, and we're lucky we have a vested interest in a lot of horses, you know, from our stallions. And, I mean, Uncle Mo I don't think he could have got off to a better start.
No.
You know, he's having Nyquist, and then even last weekend he had his eighth stakes winner up in Aqueduct, and then he had the second and third in a graded stake. The Shaken was third in the grade two as well. So it's building and building and building. And he is a very, very exciting horse to look forward to as more and more of his horses hit the track.
Do the owners who owned, you know, horses like Uncle Mo with Rapoli and Ahmed Zayat with American Fairy, do they stop by the farm somewhat frequently to go catch up with the horses?
They do. Generally, it'll be around sale time.
Okay.
So, you know, Mike Rapoli also has Stay Thirsty here, another mm-hmm. horse he raced. So he obviously follows their careers very closely. And we're lucky with the likes of Mike Rapoli that he's bred to the stallions. He bred Uncle Mo's first winner was Outwork, who won at Keeneland April last year, who he bred and raced himself. And, you know, he came back a couple of weeks ago and won an allowance quite nicely. So we hope to see him on the Triple Crown trail. But that helps, and it's he's got a, you know, a bunch of nice Stay Thirsties that'll probably end up in the likes of Todd Pletcher's stables this year with his first 2-year-old. So that helps to get the horse off the ground as well.
Scott Calder from Coolmore America and Ashford Stud joining us for just another couple of moments here on the Bet America Radio Network. Do you have some, you know, just you personally, some favorite stallions or offspring that for one reason or another you like a lot? Because I know, like, when I would go back to visit my friends that were trainers, Barnes, there's always a couple of horses that for some random reason you get attached to.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Uncle Mo. I think what he did as a 2-year-old was, you know, spectacular. So I'm glad to see him doing well. At the moment, of our unproven horses, we have a horse called Declaration of War, who's the son of Warfront, who ran very well in Europe and then finished his career up in the Breeders' Cup Classic, ran a very close third, to Mucho Macho Man, and Will Take Charge in his first try on dirt. So physically, he is just, I could stand all day and look at him. He just, for me, as you say, you get attached to horses. He, you know, you could paint a portrait of him, in my opinion. So he's a horse that his oldest are now yearlings, and I think going forward it'll be really exciting to see what they do on the track.
Do you guys have, are there any stallions that you guys almost bought or thought you had a shot at and it fell through for some reason that have gone on to do well? And, like, I always think about actors who, you know, maybe turn down Titanic and then it goes on to make $400 million. Does that ever happen for you guys in the stallion business?
Oh, I'm sure it does happen, you know, whether it's at sales or when they're on the track. But in my time, I've, you know, only been here for the 3 years, so it's kind of, I don't know if we've made any big mistakes. Maybe it's not apparent yet. But thankfully, because of the level that we operate, generally speaking, if there's a horse that we take a shine to, it, you know, we usually have the resources behind us to make that happen. So, I'm very glad that American Pharoah stands at Ashford Stud and not somewhere else in Kentucky, because I wouldn't want to be competing against them. So, yeah, we're always out there scouting for horses, and, you know, I'm sure things slip through the cracks, but we try to be on the ball, and, you know, we've been lucky, the likes of Shanghai Bobby, Verrazano, Stay Thirsty. We've got a lot of young horses coming through that will have good chances to do well, you know, once their offspring start running.
So if I'm at Keeneland or Saratoga this summer, who would be an Ashford sire I should look for some good two-year-olds coming up for?
Well, as I said, Stay Thirsty will have his first two-year-old sitting the track this year, so it'll be exciting to see how they go. You know, if Uncle Mo has a season like he did last year, I think you can hope to see some more horses coming out with the quality of kind of Gomo and Nyquist, hopefully. And another horse, I guess, would be Munnings, his first crop included. I'm a Chatterbox, and he's doing very well. So those are three kind of stallions that are really on the upward swing for us, hopefully.
How important is that first crop for a sire, both from, you know, from your standpoint in marketing, but also just for the farm in general?
Oh, it's very important. People are, you know, very quick to run a line through some stallions if they don't get up to the mark in that first year. So it is. It's a pretty, you know, breeders can be pretty critical, and it's what have you done for me lately kind of situation. So that a horse is always, you know, they need that new horse coming through, and particularly with their first crop, it certainly helps that they hit the ground running. So a lot of our job here is we try and get as much support around those horses, make sure that they have, you know, enough soldiers on the ground in that first crop that they can get out in good numbers and out of quality mares, and hopefully, you know, if they're you know, they're a good stallion, that critical mass will be enough to see them through.
Very cool stuff. Well, Scott, I really appreciate your time, and folks can check out coolmore.com for information on all the stallions there. It's a pretty impressive roster. It was pretty neat to go look at your guys' website last night and see some of the names that are all living, you know, kind of under one roof.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a privilege to work here. It's you know, Ashford's a beautiful property, and we have some really great stallions. Obviously, American Pharoah is the talk of the town at the moment, but, you know, all of our other 12 stallions have a lot going for them. So, as I said, it's a real privilege.
Have you converted to a Burgoo and Hot Browns and all the Kentucky fare?
I am. It's kind of, particularly when it comes to UK basketball, it's hard not to get fired up in that when you live in Kentucky. But, no, as I said, if you're in the horse business, it's a hard place to be.
All right, Scott. Well, we really appreciate your time, and we'll be back after the short time out. It's the Bet America Radio Network.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, so my thanks to Scott Calder for joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. I thought he had some really, really cool information, some neat behind-the-scenes information about not only American Pharoah, but their entire operation at Coolmore. They just have such a fantastic lineup of stallions there. It's pretty cool to hear about what some of those horses are up to, and you know, what their career's like and life is like after the breeding shed. So great appreciation to Scott for joining us, and I hope everybody enjoyed that interview. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be previewing the big tournament we're having at Bet America this Saturday. It's Gulfstream Park, Santa Anita, Aqueduct. It's a $100 buy-in. 100% of entry fees go into the tournament prize pool. So it's fee-free. There's zero takeout on it. 150 players, 15,000 up for grabs. So be sure to sign up for that tournament. It's going to be a ton of fun. We'll be previewing that a little bit with Barbara Boley, who was with the Tournament Edge, a group of handicappers, her, Anthony Trezza, Bobby Shoemaker, the sniper Barry Spears, I believe, is involved with that group. Some very top tournament players who have kind of come together to create a website and a social media network that focuses only on horse racing handicapping tournaments. So we're going to talk with Barbara about that. And I believe my good buddy Merv Huber from Bet America, who is in charge of our tournaments, is actually going to be joining us on the call as well. So look forward to talking with them about all that's going to be going on with that tournament. And it's Friday, so we'll have the Barn Jury as well, and all sorts of great stuff coming up tomorrow. So hope everybody has a great rest of their Thursday, and we look forward to seeing you guys next time. It's the Bet America Radio Network. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.